How many of you had a, highlight from last week, highlight from the convention this past week? Like there was something you saw, something you heard, some act of kindness somebody did, some kind of service that happened. An old friend you met. How many of you have a highlight, maybe answer to prayer, something really amazing? How many of you have some kind of a highlight? Okay. All right. So what I want you to do is share it with your neighbor for a minute. What's the highlight that you had this past week? Okay, turn just for a short word. We'll have a couple parts to the service. Philippians chapter 4. This is how I feel about our church here in Baltimore. Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, so it's going to come up there. I think so. Got to give them time. They're okay. They're awesome. Therefore, my brethren. Okay. Therefore, my brethren. It is there, but it isn't here. Maybe it can't be here now. Maybe something's broken. I don't know. Okay. Let's, if you got a Bible, then look at your Bible. Therefore, my brethren, number one. Okay. There it is. Okay. The first word is brethren, and that's who we are. Next one is more endearing, dearly beloved. Okay. And when I think about us hosting all these brothers and sisters that come here, and this church has a spirit of joy, of simplicity, transparency, freedom, truth, God's love, then it's an honor to be able to see, and then the body we are drinking the same spirit. Then he says more, and longed for. So we have one, two, dearly beloved, then longed for. These are the Philippians. Wouldn't it be amazing that you say, I long for that church. I long for my brothers. I long to be with them. I long to be with them. Then he says the next one, my joy, this is really the result of the love that we have. How many people went to the airport and picked up people? People that opened up their homes, gave out cars, fed people, gave $10 here or there. And served and loved the brothers and sisters. Long for my joy. You really are my joy. And there is amazing. And then crown, my crown. So we have one, two, three, four, five titles there. My crown. Now that's an amazing thing to think about regarding a church. This is the work of God's grace amongst us. Then he says, stand fast in the Lord. And we'll speak about that later tonight. Then he goes, he adds another time. He says, my dearly beloved. I mean, this man was in love with these people. He loved these people. Wow. Okay, so I hope this isn't a problem that I could ask a couple of people to come up just for a minute and just stand up here. Two Finnish ladies that are amazing are Pili Krama and Avi Altonen. I don't know, is that okay? Come on up. Avi Altonen and Pili. And then Andy Valaitis from Lithuania. Would you like to come up, Andy? And then how about the Pastor Jeff McKeon? Would you like to come up, Pastor Jeff? Okay, so it's just very simple. Maybe just a short, like, what was the highlight of the week for you? Is that okay? The highlight. Would you like to go first? Okay.
Yeah, I got along with my brother really well this week. Yeah. The highlight was I got along with my brother this week. And our dad's doing well for 96.
Wow.
Oops. You know, he's still comes here every Sunday morning. So, and then the body, you know, just to see you and all in front here. And we're still going to be here another two and a half weeks, so it's going to be amazing. We're just still expecting the convention to go on and write the Wednesday post-convention Wednesday night. So, yeah.
I'm just really excited about the theme of agape love. Just totally amazed how much God gave me fresh, after being decades saved and hearing the words, but just I think God is really available to teach very deeply and personally, practically, this theme, and I'm really thrilled about it, you know, and the term diet of love. And to me, really was a prayer answer and hallmark, the Saturday morning message. It had been in the pastors and pastors' wives meeting, I was told, or Pastor Schaller said so and referred to it and gave us, all of us here, about, from it, about when you have stubborn and reoccurring stubborn problems, and agape love teaches you to walk in it and grow in it and deal with it. It's incredible. Like, it doesn't happen overnight necessarily, but agape love is such an answer, and you can live above whatever this kind of stuff. I'm just like thrilled, very blessed, deeply blessed, and total prayer answer, victory, amen.
I have to say I have the same highlight. Actually, like every message, every evening message had a highlight in it. But I think Saturday evening, the message on agape love was like a really amazing highlight for me. That really spoke to my heart. And also just the body of Christ here, like the love that's there, the expectation, and like then the how God meets you there, and just somehow, like, I feel like my spirit worships when I come into the service and the Bible's opened and God is there. So it's beautiful.
The pastor's meetings in the morning, Pastor Schaller talked about, don't say you're going to go to such and such a city, for this is evil. And it actually really spoke to me, like, how many times I looked and I went, that's like, we always do it. We think we're going to do something. It says, if the Lord wills. And that really spoke to me, because it will be if God wills. And then another thing that spoke to me, I hope I say his name right, Pastor Jubalani, did I say it right, from South Africa. I just couldn't believe how you could see literally how much he grew because of the trial he went through. I mean, his countenance was like, it was almost like looking at the Shekinah glory. It was amazing. It was really awesome.
That was so And I want to get another batch up here. What do you think? Huh? One more batch? Wow, that was good. I don't know. Joe, did you want to share something? Let's see. All right, let's see. How about Pastor Mihail and Maria, would you like to come up? And how about Pastor Mikhail, would you like to come up? The highlight for the week for you, like one highlight. And then how about Pastor Satellite, would you like to? Just like the highlight, would that be good? And how about... Pastor Ray, would you like to? Come on.
I loved how in the total freedom of love, without giving laws or rules about how to act, people in the love of the Holy Spirit showed Jesus, and something took form here, and the presence of Jesus and the body manifested that work of God, which is the church. I really loved that. And I think that is something that God will also teach me much more in the future to discern that.
Hello. For me, coming here is like every time when I get to come, it's such a great blessing and an honor. And to see each of you and to get to know more people, it blessed my heart to see people faithfully coming to church. And as Pastor Satellite said, we don't quit. And the message, everything was about go forward, and we are built on the rock. And this year it was such a great honor to stay with Pastor Gary and Kathy. They are such like a blessing, and it was a great honor for us to. And we like them to come to Romania as missionaries.
We're on our way. For me, it was actually, all the messages were wonderful, but it was post-convention Sunday night, because everything that we do for me has the homeless in mind. And I had four drug addicts here, and I asked them when we left, so did David kill the giant? And they said no. God did through David. So they got the message. And I said, so what's the giant today? And unanimously they said drug addiction. So if you took the whole week for me, it would come down to Romans 12:2, because these people are getting away from being conformed and they're being transformed. And this was a transformative convention. It was amazing.
Like a lot of people who live in Baltimore, a lot of us in the midst of watching everybody come have to work as well and then come for the evening services, as I had to. And I expected to be unable to function halfway through the week, but God took care of me. And I came here and I found the body, and there were people I didn't know. They spoke all sorts of different languages, all sorts of different cultures, and all of them are our brothers and sisters. It's a funny thing. I was just talking to Ruth Ann about this, that we stopped at the Brooklyn booth because we always get curried goat every year. It's just a requirement of the convention for us. And he said to us, the gentleman behind the counter, I don't know his name, I have had people from across the world that make it a point to come and have my curried goat. And they're all my brothers and sisters in Christ. They are all, and you all are, our brothers and sisters in Christ. How many went on the march? Wasn't it glorious? We weren't out there trying to protest or proclaim something crazy. We just expressed God's love because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's glorious. I want to thank God very highly for seeing one man sitting out there. Hi, Tim. It's good to see you in church this evening. We're praying for you.
And Saturday evening, Pastor Shala's message about love, what is love, can do, what is not to do. And I think that message really just amazing for myself. I hear so many times of preaching about love, but the love in our mind and the love in our heart and the love will be in the love and living in the love is different. So that moment, I really feel just God's love so real. It's so precious. All people, we get together. We have the same love. We are really somebody. And Pastor Steve, he said, we are warm. We are warm. But Pastor Martin said, we can influence God. We can influence God. We are warm, but we also can influence God. So in love, in grace, we cannot imagine what this group of people can do in Baltimore, in the country. We are really can have done something through the God, through the love. So I'm so proud of this church, be this body. So thank you for this great event, great conference, great convention.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, that's amazing. Okay. Could the AV department put up on the screen a slide on love and turn to 2 Kings chapter 1, a short story here. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 1. every word up here was so precious to listen to, and the Spirit and Michigan, the team is in Michigan, Anna and Perio, Taya, Sue, Vieta, many were on that team, Julia, Zane. So they're up there ministering to the Finnish Americans up on the Upper Peninsula, and we've heard some news from there. And so that we want to keep them in our mind and in our prayers. Pastor Gary Grunwald has worked out a program for Summer Harvest in Baltimore in the month of July. And he'll be sharing on that in the probably Sunday night, Pastor, probably. So that's another thing. Okay, listen to this little story. Chapter 1, 2 Kings, verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down. So when I read the Bible, I sometimes on purpose I go slow, word by word, and I think about it. Ahaziah, who is he? He's a king Israel, the northern kingdom, and he fell down. So Where do you see falling down in the Bible? Where do you see falling down in the Bible? Yeah, the big one is what? Lucifer. Where did he fall from? Heaven. Where did he go? Like lightning, right? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they had God walking. They walked with God and the voice of God. What happened to them? They were kicked out. They were gone. And was that lower? Were they brought to a lower place? There was death and a curse. Falling down. This is a theme. Can people fall down today? What kind of heights are they? What is that high place that people are at? How do they get high? What kind of high place are people in? Some people are in the NFL. High draft pick, low draft pick, first draft pick, high place. Money, maybe high place. Position, prestige, importance, high place. Can they fall? Yeah. You go high, 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 and you can fall. And this king was up in the balcony, up higher. And it says in verse 2, he fell down through a lattice. What is a lattice? But these strips of wood that go these different ways, crisscrossing, right? Latticed. A latticed wall. A latticed railing. A latticed fence. He fell through it. What was he trusting in? Maybe the story has many, you know, like thoughts that we have regarding it. And this is all that I want to say about it. I want to make a point. Read verse 2. Through a lattice in the upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. So maybe when he fell, that was what caused his sickness. Maybe he broke his hip or his shoulder or his neck. We don't know. But he was sick. He fell and was hurt. And he had a question, will I die? And he went, sent messengers, and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Who is that? But a god, an idol. And he sent for him. He sent a message to him to find out, will I die? Verse 2. Whither I shall recover of this disease. Okay. So Elijah met him, verse 2. But the angel of the Lord, and that is Jesus Christ, by the way. When you read angel of the Lord, it is also, you are able to translate it, messenger of the Lord. And that is Jesus Christ, said to Elijah, verse 2. The Tishbite arrives, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Here it is. When people in the 21st century that are living around us fall and they get hurt, their fall is not only a physical fall, but a psychological fall, a practical fall, a fall of position, a failure, a catastrophe, a disaster. Where will they go? To a fortune teller? To play the lottery? Where will they go to find what is their future? Will I live or will I die? What bar room will they go to? What casino? What girlfriend? Where will they go? They will go to the gods of the world. And Elijah said, Isn't it because there is no God of Israel here? Meaning, where's the prophet? Where's the message? Where we would say, where's the church? Where is the security? Where is the truth? Where is the answer for my fall? How do I get healed? How do I find a solution to my life, my problem? Where is God, we say, right? So Jesus comes, and all of these fallen people meet Jesus, and they touch him, and they have a future. And now here's the thing. Where do they go to an upper room? Does a believer go to an upper room? Does a believer go to a place where we can never really fall? Is a believer brought to a place of a new kind of security? Not latticed, you know, where you could crash through it, but some security where, though I fall, I will not utterly be cast down. Or where, if I mess up, underneath are God's everlasting arms. Or how about this? O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Who can tell me those things? But there is a God in Israel. Wasn't it fun to hear Pastor Obed on Sunday morning? If you didn't see it, I hope it is archived. He said he was in the Taliban. He was in the auditorium, in the stadium, the soccer stadium. And they were beheading people and hanging people on the cranes in the soccer field. It was a public place, a soccer field, where people are executed. He told the story. And he said, a missionary doesn't bring God someplace. He said, God is already there. And he said, I've saw it three times in my life as an unbeliever. And he told this story where this man had the right to behead a man. But the executioner has also the right to just claim, raise his sword up in the air and say, I give you mercy. I give you mercy. And he said, in this particular case, the man did it. He said, mercy. And then he said, all the spectators, they just rose up with joy. And they said, mercy, mercy, mercy. And the man was released. And he said, that's when I saw that mercy is better than judgment. That was amazing. You see, people fall in this world, but there's no God, no message. They don't hear it. There's no where do they find it? Where is the message? So go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll give a short commentary on this and put up there the screen on the screen that slide, please, of what love is, okay, and what love is not. There are 16 things there, and this is like this is. A lot of material, but we'll say a few things here on what love is. So it starts off, love suffers long and is kind. Then there's a pause between in the top two. And then Paul writes what love is not. And we preached on that the other night. I think a couple times, maybe two messages. What love is not. There's one point in this teaching that is very important, and it has to do with our desire for justice and for things to be right and correct. And we really have a desire for that, for things to be right, correct, and so on. But in life, when you fall from the balcony through the lattice, and it happens, whether you're right or wrong, it happens to us. And when we fall and we're hurting, we need something more than right and wrong. We need love. We need God, and God is love. We easily become self-righteous. We have it in our nature to be right and love what is right. But there's another thing here. Look at this. Is the third one on this side. It is suffers long with people. The meaning is macrothumia, the top one. It's like amazing amount of patience with people. And then is kind. And then the third one, rejoices. This is something that, to be honest, I think it's kind of new for people, rejoicing. Like really rejoicing. I mean, there's something in our hearts that we love and that we have going on in our hearts. If we look for only what is right, we might find what is right, but we still can't find the way to get back. Like, I'm right, but where is that place where, you see, I believe, let me say something that isn't so clear. The king was was up high in a balcony, and I believe that's where we want to be. We want to be honored. We want to be loved. We want to be exalted. Not in this way as a design in our nature. We want to be recognized. We want to be successful. We want to be blessed. And we want to be. But where is the high place where you can't really fall? Where is the high place where you are actually secure? But it's in God. He is my glory and the lifter of my head. He's the one that puts truth in the inner part. Psalm 51, verse 6. This is really what we enjoy about being together, because the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places. We are actually in God. Actually, we are so high, we can't be any higher. For in the Son of God, we are as high as He. Really, Ephesians 2, 6 says that. So, the good news is that Lucifer was in a high place and he fell, and the believer is in a high place, and in one sense, he can never fall. I cannot fall out of that place. You and I. Yes, we can backslide, we can live in carnality, we can live in unbelief, but we are sealed in Him and secure in Him. And for us to learn about being in that place of honor from God means that we can also go very low. But when you go very low, you're not hurt. When you go very low, you're able to serve. It's like Christ. Christ was so high, but when he came, he was able to go so low. And being so low, he was able to serve. He was able to love. And he was able to bring light into darkness. He was able to manifest love, because look at the list. Love rejoices in truth, right? It's like truth It doesn't say rejoices in what is right, though that's an honorable thing, but it's more than that. Truth. What is truth? Truth is the manifestation of God's mind, where God is saying, though you leave me, I will never forsake you. Though you fall, you'll not utterly be cast down. Though you, truth is saying to Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. Truth is saying, yes, the world is in, has rejected me, but I came to seek and to save those that are lost. Truth is amazing. Truth from the Bible. So then there's a little sequence here. If you take these one, two, three, four, five, six phrases, rejoices in truth. So this is emotional in a good way. I mean, in our heart, we rejoice in truth. The Bible speaking to my heart, like loving to hear these testimonies, like rejoicing in what God is doing, rejoicing in forgiveness, rejoicing in giving mercy. And then it says, bears all things. And this word is this idea of shelter. It has two meanings. The covering, like a roof, underneath, like a foundation of a house, bearing the house, also like a vessel in water. You put a submarine down and it's able to bear the pressure. So here is a mom or a dad or a missionary or a pastor or a believer who's in trouble at work, or maybe he ends up going to jail like the Apostle Paul or Joseph, and they're in it and they are able to bear. And then if we go a little weak on that one, bears all things, then you go to the believes all things. Like he could say, you know, I don't know if I can handle this, but I believe God can handle this. I believe that God will help me. I believe that God will be with me. But let's say the believing goes a little weak, then it goes to hopes all things. So even if my faith is weak or my faith is failing me, then I have a hope that even if my faith is failing, I have a belief or a hope that God will strengthen me, or God will take care of me even if my faith fails. And even then, if my hope gets weak, then you go to endures all things. And this is like a amazing truth, that this love, it goes like, you know, even if I am like just caught kind of like zero, I'm a big zero, I am able to like have that single belief that somehow I am here, and I am just enduring. I am just, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. Do you have much faith? Not really much faith. Do you believe all things? Yeah, I do, but even I've got questions. Are you hoping all things? Yeah, behind it, I have a living hope, but I'm going to be there. And I can't explain it. I'm just going to be there. Because love endures. It's like Jesus on the cross. If you go, rejoices in the truth, bears all things under the pressure, believes all things, and even if that gets a little weak, he's hoping all things. It was at Isaiah 42. He is enduring on the cross. This is love. And then it just simply can't fail. I fall from a high place, but love doesn't fall. I mean, love is never failing. I fall, love never fails. Love is there. Love upholds us. Love is the bottom line for our lives. Love works. God loves you. God never fails you. God is faithful. God is someone, the only one that could be trusted. What did the God of Ekron say? You know, what did Beelzebub, what was the stuff that he said? Who cares? He doesn't know anything. And Elijah said, do you know why you go to the God of Beelzebub? Because you're not going to the God of Israel. And that's like this world. There are people that go every other place except the God of Israel. And the God of Israel is really the only one that loves us. This way, he loves us. And then, in our hearts, we find this love, we learn the love. And I liked what Pastor Satellite said. He said, it just will go on and on if it is love. If it is love, people will hear about it. If it is love, people are drawn to it. If it is love, it's like, because everyone is falling down. Everybody falls from that high place. Everybody loses a job or loses their money or their status or loses their health or whatever it might be. We all, but the point isn't that I want that whether I fall or not. The fact, the point is really, where am I at? And if I was to fall, who is my God? For when I fall, I will say to God, what do you say to me? And he will say to me, I will never leave you. I am your glory and the lifter of your head. I am the God of answers. I am the God of life. I am the God of peace. I am the living God. And follow me, and I will honor you. I will help you. I will heal you. And then one other thing. The church at Ephesus, they were very good in their doctrine, very good in their works and their services. But Jesus said, I have something against you. You have left your first love. You've left this love. And when you fall and you're sick, you go to this one or this one or this one, and you're looking, and God is saying, come unto me, learn of me. I am meek and lowly. I am love. Yeah, Lord, I'm looking for justice. The Lord is saying, I'm looking for love. Lord, I want things to be right. God is saying, I want things to be merciful. And I give you mercy. And I expect you to give out mercy and learn love. I want you to be faithful. I want you to learn it. I want you to walk in it. God's love is the most amazing thing in the world. It will heal me. It'll help me. It'll teach me how to think. It'll teach me how to share. It'll teach me how to process my trials. It'll help me in my marriage. If I'm single, it'll help me in my single life. It'll keep me out of a lot of trouble. It'll help me. It'll build me up. Love is the most amazing thing in the universe. God is love. And look at how much he loves us, how important it is, and what it is. Look at that. And then another time we'll see. Love is not those things. Isn't that amazing? What it is not. So it's kind of like two mountain ranges, what love is and what love is not, and they kind of go together and they complement each other. I can know what it is when I also know what it is not. And he wants to make it really clear to us. And I think, I mean, the only way I can live in it, I would cannot intellectually grab it, but the only way I can really live in it is being spirit-filled. And then I was thinking today, do you know what the antithesis of love is? It's not hatred. What's the antithesis of love? I don't know. The thought that I had is pride. Pride is the opposite of this. Pride is a mentality of self-importance, and we are filled with pride. But when we learn God, we learn love, and then our self-life kind of goes away, and we learn how to love like God loves. And then that Holy Spirit humility, Holy Spirit wisdom, Holy Spirit edification, and then lastly, gathering. Some people are scatterers because they're proud. They are scatter. They are proud in their attitude, in their thinking. They are not humble. And they scatter. And they scatter believers. And they come in and they express knowledge and maybe even what is right or what they feel is right. But it's like, I don't care about what is right always. Sometimes, yes. But we are looking for something more, and that is love. What if God dealt with all of us tonight here on the basis of what is right in his eyes? I think we'd all be in trouble. He deals with us with what is merciful, what is love, what is truth. And there's a truth. Remember Pascal said, there is a reason that reason knows nothing about. Remember? Reason. And then there is a reason that this reason knows nothing about. It's a great principle. Okay, those are some thoughts. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we have had an amazing week. 10 days, 2 weeks, month actually. From the end of May, actually, graduation, hymnology class, intensified, much service, and much love. The pastor said at the pastor's meetings in the morning, they were just so refreshed because you, Lord, are teaching us and leading us in love. And we are learning. And sometimes it hurts, Lord. Sometimes it really hurts what happens in life. Sometimes it really hurts what happens. But we are learning love, and what love is. Sometimes we fall, Lord, and it really hurts. And we wonder what will happen. And then you come and teach us love. Bless the people traveling. Bless the people in Michigan. Bless our church tonight, through the months, the summer, for our children in water sports, bicycles, walking on the street, protection, for our homes to be filled with the Spirit, for marriages to be filled with love and wisdom, for worship, for evangelism, for sharing our faith, for speaking to people's hearts, and that we would say there is a God in Israel, the living God, who has an answer for every single person on the earth. Every single person on the earth. God is for every single person. God loves the world. He gave his son for every single person on the earth. Father, for the guys on the motorcycles, use them, protect them, and use them to share. On Saturday morning, when we gather to go out and to share as a way of life in a cafe on the street, just to share and say, have you heard about it? Have you heard about the church down the street? Have you heard the message? Have you heard that there's a living God that cares about you and will answer your cry and care for you? Lord, Friday night we'll have Pastor Shabelli's class, and then prayer meeting every Friday night for an hour and a half. Friday night only for that prayer for Sunday services. And we ask, Father, to bring people into this room that are sick, that have fallen, that are sick and hurting, and wonder if they will die. And that the God of Israel would say, hear me and you live. Hear me, I've saved you. Hear me, and I restore you. I save you. Please, Lord, do more of that. We ask it in Jesus' name. And then in the auditorium, say it to Jesus, please. Yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Jesus. On the internet, please say it. Yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Jesus, I believe. Please say it in your heart. And you are saved. In Christ's name. Raise your hand if you're saying that prayer. Anyone at all? Anyone? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.